So I want to move from this part, which I think is really important, and I'm glad that this is being recorded so we can take note of the comments that are being made here and think this through more. But move a little bit into the whole topic of this Christian education. So there's, if we're talking about these two roles that the church can have in children's ministry, one supporting what families do at home, and the other some direct experience of Christian education here. The way I thought, it's hard to think through the various sort of ways that this can be done. So what I did was just brought up three different scenarios for ways a church could do this, and one of them is the way we currently do it. But so scenario one here would be that children go to church school for the entire worship service, so that they basically come, are dropped off by parents at the Sunday school classrooms, and are picked up when worship is over, and therefore are kind of rarely present in the worship service itself. A lot of congregations use this. It's a model that maybe some of us grew up with in our own churches. But I kind of want to ask the same questions for each one of these scenarios, for one, two, three. Kind of what are the pluses and minuses to this, and what does it say about the way we view and understand kids in our community? So does somebody want to... What ages? Well, I'm working within our current model, which is basically up to age 12. I mean, we're talking about kids 12 and under. Go ahead, please.
You should have the above 10, you should have them separate. Because the children, they are proud, they wouldn't like to go with the 3-year-old. They think that, you know, they are...
When I said that, we actually have 3 groups within under 12, so the oldest group is 10 to 12, so that's already being done. That's already being done. So, but this is talking about kids in, you know, we're talking about how we, what the plan is for kids who are ages 12 and under, basically. We have a few here.
So for this scenario, I would want to give it thumbs down all the way. Christian education takes place in so many ways, and one of the ways, very powerful, is to participate in the life of the congregation and to see how it is done. See growing people pray, sing, and listen. And I mean, maybe on some level you don't get it all if you're 6 or 8, but you definitely, yeah, so no.
I think we are all aware of the big role that the children have within our worship, and it is important for us. It's part of what we are and how we help the children to grow and then to learn and to teach us as well, to share with us, because they are part of this worship as well. But the other thing that I would like to reflect on, how many minutes, so how long do they have upstairs to have a good class? If it is enough time when they still come downstairs to share with us, or if they need more time to have a proper class. So that will be my point. But definitely, I would like to have the children down here.
I agree with Christine, just a thumbs down, because Christian education happens in all the places. And I even just always reflect back to the example of my oldest son, Paul Michael, when he was 2 or 3, we heard him in the bath humming liturgy from the worship service. And there's education and formation. I mean, that's what liturgy is. It's formation. So it is meaningful to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw Pilate's hand. I know there were others. So.
I used to teach Sunday school a long time ago when my children were small. And it was this method in the church where I used to go. They had children. We were actually in a different building from the church building. And the message that it gave to children was that they are a disturbance to the real worship. And I think it's a model that really worked a lot of damage to the children that we were teaching, because they were only welcome once a year when it was children's time to appear. And I don't support this model.
Yeah, I'd echo that, the thumbs down, because it's about education, but it's also about belonging. So the service is for everyone. And it's really important that children feel that from the right get-go. They are just as much a member as we are. So it gets a thumbs down, but then just kind of coming back round to the question here, there are a couple of pluses. It still gets a thumb down, but the pluses I can see is one, it gives harried parents a whole service where they're not, okay, yes, here's a carrot, and okay, can you pick your brother off the floor, please? Try not to. So it does give parents a time to focus in a way that's not that common in family life. And it also does give kids a longer time in a formal educational context.
Yeah, I hear you, Tim. I can totally relate to that, the carrot and don't worry. But there's light in the tunnel, so you have to go through it like every other parent. That's the way it is right now. Suck it up. And to the point upstairs, how much time? I agree, there's not much time, but I think that little time, if it's like, what, 20 minutes or something like that, similar, maybe 30, but I always think there is just there's a little core message. There's a little, one tells a story, and there's just a moral to that. And at the end, of these 30 minutes of the little gathering, you say, so what is the message for today? And they look at you and some answer, like John says, some are smarter than you are with the stories, with the Bible stories, or more knowledgeable. And if they take a little tiny message, like the seed, with them, that's all you need. And that can be done in the 30 minutes. And I think that's all it takes. And I'm also thumbs down for like the same reasons.
Is there Anna?
Yeah.
Having gone through this for years and years and years, and also this question, no? But I still believe that education happens through many different ways, and also, and especially through experience. And as Natalie said, no? I can think of several examples of now adults in our congregation who had come to their parents with a word, with a song, with part of the liturgy at a very at the right time. And why did it happen? Because they were here and they learned it. And I wouldn't say it's osmosis, but sometimes it is. You know, it just goes through the skin and through the ears, and not necessarily always knowing why, how, like the seed, but it happens. And it is true that the other day a mother said, oh, yes, my child slept the whole service. And it was the first time in about 2 years that the child is, that I had a whole full service for myself. And then I thought, okay, but it is true that at lunchtime or dinner time at home, or at a time when parents want to have a conversation or whatever, when there are children around, there is a try to find a way of finding your time for your conversations or whatever. So I would plead and ask, please, not to take them out the whole time, because this is part of who we are and how do they learn. No? Thank you.
So I'm coming, but I'm caught up with the methodology here. I was recruited to build a tent outside, so it's built, it's ready, we're good, it's solid. So just to speak to this one, I give a thumbs down because we also need to not think about Christian education in rational terms. Part of the formation is being and belonging. And I would argue that adults don't understand what happens in the sacrament, but being a part of the sacrament, receiving something, is the experience, and standing there alongside, being in communion. We might not understand all the words that are in the lessons, but I'm sitting next to my sister here listening. And for a child, that is formation, that is education for a child. And being in worship is fundamental to their formation, not only what they learn rationally, but what they experience. And just as a quote, just as a kind of summary of that, somewhere along the way, I picked up from someone in a congregation where a man at the end of his life compared worship to meals and the participating in the sacrament as eating meals. And he said, you know, I know that I have had a lot of meals prepared for me in the past, celebrations and festivals, and I can't remember exactly any one meal, but I remember being fed. And that, I think, is the thing. Children being in worship, it's not necessarily what they get out of any one Sunday, but it's that consistency of being fed and being there, and that's formative, right? That's Christian education.
It's not a different opinion, but it's one element that learning how to do popular education and asking people to be subject of their own history and not wanting that others are talking what I want to say. I think children that are, I agree with all the perspectives of being within the church, but I also think that we should ask the children from 10 to 12 especially, what do they would like? Because it might be that Julia was also at some time at 10, when she was 10, she was so bored at the worship that she wanted to be outside. So we could have asking them what is their, how many times, for how long, and doing this work, but giving them the opportunity to say their own experience also, especially the oldest one. I would not...
Thanks, that's a really good point. Not in a formal way, but I asked the question for the kids that were outside about 15 minutes ago. What do they want? What was working at the moment? What do they want more? What do they want to change? Just a feedback. Their main thing was, well, there were two things. We want to be outside more. Why? Fresh air. You know, it's nice. And, you know, just space and the leaves and the light and things. So that was one piece of feedback. And then the other one was space, which is, I mean, it's a good problem we've got. But, you know, the groups, even though the three groups in three rooms now, they're feeling a little bit crammed in. Now, I'm not sure whether there's a simple solution to that, but that's just responding back to you in terms of their, you know, I just basically accosted them and asked them. So it's not a kind of a formal questionnaire, but this is the feedback I got so far. Yeah.